Over the past few weeks, we've talked a lot about student loan debt and rising tuition costs for college, and you've had a lot to say.
It took me 19 and a half years to pay off what at the time was crippling student loan debt.
I'm paying twice for my student loan than what I'm paying for my mortgage.
My wife's grad school loan just is much more than our credit card debt.
The prices for going to college and universities is really outrageous.
According to data released just last week, California's public universities lead the nation in rising tuition, costs going up 21% this year alone. Celeste Headley is on the West Coast this week, and we asked her to sit down with some on both sides of the tuition hike debate. Albert Carnesale is Chancellor Emeritus of UCLA, who is arguing that the University of California system needs to raise tuition even further. And Adam Swart, a junior who is trying to keep college costs down. Adam is a student government chief of staff. Here is their spirited conversation.
Let me bring in with you, Professor, because you wrote 4 or 5 years ago and predicted that we were going to be in the exact situation that we're in now. Is that correct?
Well, in large measure, even then, before the budget problems, it was clear that the resource gap between public universities and private universities was growing. Private university tuitions were going up rather rapidly. Their endowments were growing. And the amount of money available per student was just getting markedly different between the two. And since many of the public universities, particularly the University of California, have always had as an objective to be among the best universities, just not only among the best public universities, that was threatened.
Well, you know, Adam, let me ask you about this, because obviously there's a solution to raise tuition. But I myself had a full ride scholarship with a stipend when I went to school, and I am still at age 41 paying off $40,000 in student loans because going to college is expensive. And sometimes scholarships really can't cover that. Adam, what do you think?
Well, Celeste, I completely agree with you, and I think there's this huge conflict at this point, given the budget situation that we're in, between preserving quality and preserving affordability. And the way that we often discuss it is that, you know, on the one hand, you can increase tuition costs, and at that point, you're looking at students having to drop out, students having to take out more loans, and potentially actually not even being able to afford a place to stay. And on the other hand, you have the issue of quality, where you have, you know, if you're cutting money from classes and you're cutting money from faculty, you're seeing the top-notch faculty leave, you're seeing class size increase, you're seeing discussion sections get cut, you're seeing loss of a lot of really cool projects and those being replaced by Scantron multiple choice tests. So, and you're seeing the UCs lose their place, as the chancellor was talking about, as the top universities in the world. So there's really no easy way out of this.
Well, let me ask you then, Professor, that there was Adam Swart, a junior at UCLA, and he also is in student government, but also with us is Albert Carnesale, who's Chancellor Emeritus of UCLA. So let me ask you, Professor, tuition hikes can't really fix this problem. What else has to be done?
Well, actually, tuition hikes can, as long as you, to some extent, you have to do a whole bunch of other things. And I could go through those if you like. But you can have higher fees and higher aid. More than 60% of the students at UCLA receive financial aid. Indeed, 35% of them are on federal Pell Grants for low-income families. The average debt of a graduating UCLA student, cumulative, over 4 years, is $17,000, among the lowest in the country, among the lowest of public universities. Now, the problem is...
Yeah, that's $10,000 less than the average American
student. The problem is not that the person who has no money can't afford it, because they get financial aid. The problem is, in part, that somebody whose family income is $1 million a year also only pays $13,000.
Well, Chancellor, I think...
But if they went to USC or Stanford, they would pay over $40,000.
But Adam,
that's the gap.
Well, I think if you actually look at the folks out there, that really contradicts the some of what you're saying, because there are a lot of folks that are in a very poor economic situation, whether it's because of their immigration status in this country, because up until recently when we passed the California Dream Act, and that only partially alleviates the situation on the undocumented students here, you also have a lot of folks whose financial aid is getting cut. So I think on the one hand, Chancellor, you are correct that you can somewhat alleviate the situation by increasing aid as well as increasing tuition. But the evidence really on the ground is that a lot of students are saying that aid isn't really going up. It's actually going down. And especially for families in that higher income, sort of in the upper middle class range, it's very difficult, especially if the family has 2-3 kids in college, to really be able to continue to afford that education. So I think there are a lot of students, there are a lot of groups of students that are really not being helped by this. And I think if you look at how much the dorms cost at UCLA, they're extremely expensive, actually. Most students leave the dorms after their first or second year.
They are expensive.
Due to the price, because you can find much cheaper accommodation elsewhere.
You know, we have a crisis in terms of not just student debt. Obviously, there's a major crisis for student loan debt in our country. And I just have to wonder if perhaps we have to completely rethink the way that we fund public schools, which for the most part are supposed to be the place where anybody can go and afford an education.
Okay, that would be an objective. I'm not in favor of higher tuitions. If the government, for example, if the state would suddenly come up with another $2.2 billion a year,
good luck,
which is the equivalent of $11,000 per student, I'd love it. Terrific. I'm in favor. We can stop this discussion. The question is, no one believes that the tuition hikes are good for anybody. Rich people don't like to pay more either.
Would you be in favor of sort of an income-based tuition? Is this kind of the tuition version of taxing, getting more taxes out of the higher incomes?
That's a new name for what every university does now. We offer financial aid, and financial aid is based on need. So the only people that pay the sticker price are the people who can afford it. The other people pay less because they get financial aid. The average tuition that a UCLA student or a UC student pays, when you subtract the grants they get, Pell grants, Cal grants, individual scholarships, is actually less than $5,000 per year. Net, the shortfall is about $2.2 billion a year. That would require an endowment of $44 billion,
yeah, absolutely,
which is substantially larger than Harvard's. Again, that's wishful thinking. Or as a friend of mine put it, it's faith-based funding.
that's Albert Carnesale. He's Chancellor Emeritus, Professor at UCLA, used to be a Dean and Provost at Harvard, and also Adam Swart, Jr. at UCLA, where he's also a Student Government Chief of Staff. And obviously, this is a debate that will go on. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Celeste Headlee on assignment in Los Angeles. She'll have more stories for us next week.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.